everybody needs power in their life, the power to be healed, the power to be full of faith, the power to overcome, the power to face trouble and trials and anxiety. This is a currency that even money can't give you, but the Holy Spirit can. Welcome, champions, to another episode of Think Like a Champion. Remember, this podcast is dedicated to helping you win in every way and to enjoy every day. Winning in every way and enjoying every day, that's God's will for our lives. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we're going to get into today's content in just a moment, but for the last few weeks, we've been fasting from wrong thinking. If you've been fasting with me, it's not a fast from food, it's a fast from wrong thinking. And if you've been following along with me, let me know. Let me know you're following. Tag me on Instagram. Submit a testimony or takeaway. How is this impacting your life? Go to fastfromwrongthinking.com. And you could also go to ffwt.com. But fastfromwrongthinking.com, I want to hear from you. Also, you can sign up today if you've never joined our Fast From Wrong Thinking. Sign up today. It's absolutely free. There's no cost. It includes new content as well. As well as some of our best thoughts that are the spiritual forces that have given so many people victory in their lives when they apply these truths. Now, today, we want to get right into our content, and today we're fasting from financial anxiety. Now, remember, there are many forms of anxiety, but one of those anxieties comes in the form of financial worry, financial anxiety, fear of your running out, fear of your financial situation, fear of making mistakes, fear of being taken advantage of, all these fears that are associated that create anxiety concerning our finances and concerning our relationship with money. It's on my heart to share this with you because I know so many people are dealing with anxiety about their financial well-being. There have been more crisis hotlines, and therapists are being flooded by the increase of anxiety in the world today, so much of it over finances or provision or things. There's an obvious connection between financial distress and emotional stress, depression, insomnia, migraines, increased suicidal thoughts. Whether you're affected by the economy or not, we have to attack anxiety at its root. We have to change it. In order to see a new breakthrough, in order to see yourself go to the next level, you have to have a shift in your thinking. You have to have a shift in your in the way you see yourself. The greatest asset is your mindset. The greatest asset you have is not money, it's the way you think and the way you think about it. The greatest asset is not money, it's not an inheritance. Your greatest asset is, what is your mindset? What is your mindset at? What is the thermostat of your mindset at that requires everything in your life to come up to that level? You see, we're not thermometers that just read what the temperature is. We're created by God to be thermostats that set the temperature at the level we want it, and then it demands everything in the world and in the universe and in our lives and in our bodies to elevate or rise to that level where we've set the thermostat. You got to stop seeing yourself as just a weatherman that just announcing what the weather is going to be. We have to shift and go into thermostat mode and be the people that set where we want our life to be, and then everything rises to that. That's like having a vision or just having a mindset of victory. Now, I want to encourage you, inspire you, not only in natural ways to handle your finances by being a good steward or a good manager and having a budget and all those things, but I want you to tap into the spiritual force of financial well-being and financial peace and peace, period. And we have to understand that there is a wealth transfer that the Bible talks about that is happening. It's happened for centuries and it will continue to happen. And wealth and currency and money are all going to find their way to faith-filled, expectant, purpose-driven people who want to do good with what they have. It's simply good stewardship. Money comes to people who respect it and expect it and to want to do good with it. Money works best when good is being done with it. And we have to understand that money is a form of currency, but there's many other currencies that we need to start tapping into. Because when we rely on just one river of currency, we're cutting off all those other rivers, and I'll tell you what those are. But we have to shift our energy. We really have to shift our energy right now toward God-given purposes with our money. What is God-given purposes? Is our money doing good for others? Is it just something we're afraid of not having enough, or we're greedy because we want more? Or are we truly understanding the purpose of it so that when you understand the purpose of something, you'll use it correctly? When we don't understand the purpose of something, we will abuse that thing. If you don't understand the purpose of your body, you'll abuse your body. If you don't understand the purpose of your mind, you'll abuse your mind. If you don't understand the purpose of money, you'll abuse money. I know that it may not look like it, but if you don't understand the purpose of something, you will abuse it or use it in the wrong way. I truly believe that the greatest purpose of money and currency is to serve humanity, to glorify God and to serve humanity or serve other people. So here's a saying that maybe will help you in your journey with financial peace and financial well-being. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. What does that mean? It means if God sees that you are a bridge to others, that you are a funnel to others, that you are a distributor to others, then He will get abundance to you because He sees that you're willing to give it and you're willing to serve with it and you're willing to treat it by using it, by loving people and using things and loving people rather than loving things and using people, right? If God can get it through you, He can get it to you. So if He knows, and how do we know that God can get it through us? Are we already with what we have? Are we generous with what we already have? Are we smart with what we already have? Are we kind with what we already have? Are we using it for the right reasons, what we already have? If we are, that is a sign that God is going to get it to you because God knows He can get it through you. If you're putting God first, God knows He can get it through you. If you're generous with what you have, God knows He can get it through you. And if He can get it through you, it's supposed to pass through you to multiply and be a blessing to others and to come back to you multiplied so you can be more of a blessing to others. We have to have a right relationship with money, people. We have to understand how important a right relationship with money is, and we need to fast from financial anxiety. How do we do that? Okay, we need to understand there's a shift coming, and we need to understand there is an inheritance coming. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Now, the word righteous is speaking of people who are in right standing with God and have right believing. So when you have right believing, when you have right standing and right believing, then the wealth in this world is going to find its way to you. Now, there are many wrong beliefs that are hurting your relationship with money, and that's why righteousness has to include right believing in this context in Proverbs 13:22. How willing are you to interrupt these beliefs and narratives about money? How willing are you to challenge the beliefs that you've been told or that you've been telling yourself years upon years? Such as if you're telling yourself these things or you're buying into these beliefs, like money is unimportant, I'm spiritual, money's not that important, money is evil. These are wrong beliefs about money. Money is evil. The Bible doesn't say money is evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of evil, not money itself. The love of it, loving money is having a wrong relationship with money. It's using money to use people rather than using money to bless people. Okay, or it's rich people are greedy or selfish. These are false beliefs, wrong beliefs. Some people are. Some rich people are greedy or selfish. Some poor people are greedy and selfish. It's not about whether they have money or not. Or you have this belief that you're bad with money. I'm not smart enough. I'm bad with money. I don't make enough to become wealthy. Or we have this money worship belief. What's a money worship belief? It's the more money I have, the happier I'll be. That's money worship. Really, the more of God that you have, the happier you'll be. Or the money status belief. The money status belief is that my self-worth equals my net worth. These are mindsets that defeat us. These are mindsets that are limiting us. We have to replace these wrong beliefs with right beliefs. Here are the right beliefs. Here are some right beliefs. Money is an amplifier of the heart. Wherever your heart is where your treasure is, Jesus said. Okay, so we have to realize that money is not good or evil. Money simply amplifies what's already happening in your heart. If you're already generous in your heart, money is going to make you more generous. If you're stingy in your heart, money is going to make you more stingy. We have to adopt these and we have to replace these wrong beliefs with right beliefs. Here's a right belief we need to replace. Here's a right belief we need to have. Success is God's idea. Success was never man's idea. Success was God's idea. He said in Genesis, let every seed reproduce after its own kind. God created a world of success and things that are supposed to produce success. And he wants you to enjoy the things in life. It includes money. God never says no to people that asked him to bless him, to bless them. Jacob said, I'm not letting go of you till you bless me. Jabez said, bless me indeed. Jesus said in John 16:24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. That your joy is made full. Ask and you will receive that your joy be made full. We don't see Jesus saying that money is evil. We don't see Jesus saying that asking is greedy. He says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. God wants us to be full of joy. In verse 23, if you go back one verse in John 16, he says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Wow, this is how you have to live and lock into your thinking and lock into your communication with God. We have to dare to ask. We have to dare to ask big. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Wow. So we have to understand what right beliefs are. That money is an amplifier of the heart. Success was God's idea. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants to say yes to your prayer request. He really does. Understanding currency is a critical essential to financial peace. Understanding that currency, which is a tool to buy and to sell, a medium of exchange, currency is not just money. It's whatever can be used to buy and sell. A tool. Currency it comes from a word in Latin that means river or a current or a flow. So we have to understand that wealth is like a river. Financial blessing and blessings in life are rivers. There are several rivers that we can tap into in our lives to experience success and peace ultimately. John 7:38, Jesus said, the one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Rivers. He spoke of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has rivers of living water that he wants to activate in your life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. When you're filling your innermost being with thoughts of God's promises, then the Holy Spirit's going to take those promises and bring those things to pass. And there's going to be an overflow of abundance in your life because you're filling your innermost being with God's promises, God's ideas. And then the Holy Spirit will take those innermost things inside of you and create rivers of life. So let's talk about some of these things that we maybe don't identify as currency. We only think that green money is currency. We only think that crypto money is currency. We only think we're limited, and we think that gold and silver and diamonds and cash and oil, that these are the only real currencies. But that's just one dimension of currency, is in natural resources. That's just one dimension of currency. The Holy Spirit is a form of currency. He will supply you with the power that you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Everybody needs power in their life, the power to be healed, the power to be full of faith, the power to overcome, the power to face trouble and trials and anxiety. This is a currency that even money can't give you, but the Holy Spirit can. Putting God first is a form of currency. See, if I said to you, if the Bible said money is the only form of currency, then we should be constantly seeking money. But God says He has created other forms of currency that are greater than money. And if we become fluent and fluid with those currencies, we will become fluid with financial currency as well, with monetary, natural resource-based currency as well. Okay? So putting God first is a form of currency. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. They're not added to you by you seeking them. They're added to you by seeking God. You see how putting God first is a form of currency. Prayer is a form of currency. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done for you, he even says in John 15, 7. How about Psalm 23 is a form of currency? The Lord being your shepherd is a form of currency. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which means I shall not be in want. I shall not be lacking when the Lord is your shepherd. And for the Lord to be your shepherd, it doesn't just mean you saying, Jesus, you're my shepherd. It means you're following him. You're following the shepherd. The sheep is supposed to follow the shepherd. He's not really your shepherd if you're not following him, right? You could be born again, but really not tapping into so much more of what God has for you. But Psalm 23 is a form of currency, because he starts it with the Lord is your shepherd. He ends it with your cup overflows. So your cup will overflow when the Lord is your shepherd. So Psalm 23 is a form of currency. You understand? I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. I'm trying to let you see God uses different things rather than just money to bring you the answers in life that you need and the supply in life that you need, because we need a peace that money can't buy. We need power that money can't buy. We need wisdom that even money can't buy. We need salvation in our family members that money can't buy. So you see, we have to start using these other currencies, and it'll put less pressure on just our financial situation. When you, like a chair has four legs, sometimes a stool will have three, but if that stool or chair is just relying on one of its legs, it's never going to hold anything up. In the same way, if you're relying on just finances, money as your currency, then you're not going to be able to stand. It's going to be too wobbly, or the seat will not support you, right? We understand this when it comes to physical things like a chair. We need to understand this when it comes to material and emotional and spiritual things as well, that we have more than just money as a currency. We have a covenant with God. We have a covenant with God. That is a form of currency. We have prayer. We have words. Words are a form of currency. What does the Bible say? You know what it says in Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the tongue, our words, is a currency that we trade, we buy and sell with, right? We speak life and we receive life. If we speak death, we receive death. We can speak death to demonic power. We can use our tongue to speak death over fear, death over anxiety, but use our tongue to speak life over the peace in our lives, to speak life over our loved ones, to speak life over people, to speak life over our health, our bodies, our minds, our emotions. This is currency. We have to understand that, and these currencies were God's ideas. These were God's ideas. We have to know that these are God's ideas. God wants to take care of you. God wants to provide for you. God says, ask and you will receive. He says in James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God who will give it to you generously. God is so generous. And if we start asking for the things he says to ask for, we will see our lives have so much more peace and God will provide. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God. See, wisdom is a currency that most people don't tap into. But God says, if you ask for it, he'll give you generously an abundance. God wants to take care of you. God wants to give you more than enough. God wants you to cast your cares on him. Tell him. How do you get free from anxiety? Tell God what you're anxious about. He already knows it, but when you're telling it to him, this is how you get free from it. Ask him to take it. Whatever you're anxious about, tell him, and then ask him to take care of it. He's not running around to be your servant, but he tells us to ask for these things. We're simply obeying him when we ask him for these things. Wow, when you get a hold of this, you really start having peace and freedom from financial anxiety. I want you to believe, starting today, believe that God will supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19 says it. Sometimes it's not money that will supply, that will meet our supply. Sometimes we need an idea. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need insight. Sometimes we need an invention. Sometimes we need an intervention. If you will look to God as your source, if you will believe that God supplies all your needs, spiritual, physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, look to God as your source. Trust him and expect God to supply. That's why being generous is such a powerful tool and a spiritual weapon. Being generous is like a farmer planting seed, being generous with his seed into the ground, and the ground pays him back for his generosity. It's the way God set it up. How about this? Many people don't do this, but ask God to bless you. Don't just say, God bless this world. The world will be blessed. The world will be more blessed when more people are asking God to bless them. And you say, well, that seems selfish, but God is it was God's idea. See, Jabez did this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Remember in verse 9 and 10, he was facing the pain in his life. And the Bible says he prayed out. He prayed and cried out to God, oh God, that you would bless me indeed. He said, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and cause me to not bring pain, but to bring healing instead of pain. And what does the Bible say in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10? It says, and God granted his request. Listen, if God granted Jabez's request, he'll grant yours as well. Let's go to him right now about it. Let's go to him. Let's pray this together right now. Just pray this out loud. Just say, oh God, just as you blessed Jabez when he asked. Just pray that. God, you blessed Jabez when he asked. God, I'm asking you to bless me. Indeed, like Jabez asked. Bless me indeed. Say, pray that out loud. Like let your get uncomfortable a little bit with it. Like let it make you uncomfortable. Because when you say, God bless me, it sounds selfish. It sounds greedy. But he told us to ask for it. So ask again. Say, oh God, bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory. Enlarge what I own. Enlarge my impact. Let your hand be with me. Just thank him. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you that your hand is with me. Your hand is upon me. And use me to bring healing, not pain. If you prayed that out loud, and I prayed it, I'm expecting. God's going to do it. Why? Because he told us to pray this way. He wants to provide for you. Peace will fill your heart when you start talking to God about every need you have. And stop thinking that you're bothering him. Stop thinking that you're being greedy. Stop thinking that, because he said he'll do above and beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. So whatever you're asking for right now, it's less than what God wants to do. So start with what you're comfortable asking for, but be ready to go bold and ask God boldly for some things. Boy, when you start seeing life this way, you start living life this way. God wants to bless you with every form of currency that he's made available to you. Say this out loud with me. Say, I surrender my anxious thoughts to God. I give my anxiety to God. Lord, take my anxiety. I cast my cares on you. And I believe you will meet all my needs. I believe you will supply for all my needs. And I believe that you can do it through wisdom, through power, through money, through ideas. I'm open to all the rivers of the Holy Spirit's supply. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You got this. Keep on this. Pray this prayer every day. As Jabez prayed. Pray this every day. When my kids were younger, I prayed this with them every day. I hope they're praying that this every day too. Lord, bless me indeed, enlarge my impact. Let your hand be with me, keep me from evil. Let me use me to bring healing, not pain. You start praying like that, you're going to start seeing the windows open, seeing doors open that no man can close. All right, sign up for Fast from Wrong Thinking. You can start out. It's 40 days. You can start day one. Day one is whatever day you want to start. Like, start today. Go to fastfromwrongthinking.com. It's absolutely free. And pay it forward, though. Help me get this message out to others. Take a moment and give. You can give at lifechangerschurch.com, tax-deductible gifts, lifechangerschurch.com. So receive the benefit of it being tax-deductible and receive the benefit of the happiness that comes, because we're more blessed when we give than when we receive. Amen. Go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and pay it forward. Anyway, until next time, let's keep fasting from wrong thinking. And let's believe we're champions. We're thinking like champions because we are. And you're thinking like a champion because you are a champion. I can't wait to see you on our next podcast. God bless.